Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Tony Baselli on assignment tonight in Brunswick, Georgia. We'll hear from Tony from the Jaguars Caravan event. Also, we'll have a visit with President Mark Lamping of the Jaguars. He is here in studio. We'll get an update on stadium renovations, much, much more. No Scouts Eye this week. We'll break down what's happening, big news around the National Football
League. That'll be to be continued when the Jaguars return to on-the-field activities.
They're all out of town. All Scouts are gone.
Yeah, I mean, they're vacationing just like the staff and the players.
Let's get right to it. Jaguars President Mark Lamping is with us. Mark, thanks again for the time tonight.
Appreciate Are you kidding? What a great opportunity to be with you guys.
We got a nice new window in the studio. Thanks you. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
You know
that.
What? When I heard Jeff was going to be here, this is like can't miss radio.
Let's get to the biggest sight of the stadium, of course, the video board update. The south end seemingly finished across the front. The north end screen is going in now. It's a little bit behind just because of the construction underneath. Where does it stand, and are you still on schedule?
Yeah, we're on time. We're on schedule. We're, right on budget, hopefully. A little close on budget, but it's been a great project so far. And, like most of these major renovations, it seems like for the longest time nothing happens. And then when you get near the end of the project, things happen very quickly. And you're going to see that in the north end zone with the video board installation. I think the south end zone video board, they put the first LED panel up April 26th, and they finished it in June.
Wow.
And this will be done probably before the end of next week.
I was talking to you briefly, I guess it was about a month ago, and you said, have you seen the new boards? And of course, driving around the stadium and into the stadium, you're driving by it and you see it, but you told me, you said you need to look at it from on the field. And I guess it was 2 weeks ago, Joe, we took a walk out there. And when you walk out on the field and you look up, you're like, oh, my God, they're huge.
I tell you what's going to be interesting is watching the players, if they're on a punt return, looking up at the board to see who's on their tail.
They do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, and you're crazy if you don't, and you're crazy as a player if you don't utilize the board as also a coaching tool to see what happened the previous play.
Yeah. No, it's we're really excited about it. I think, we hope our fans are going to be excited about it. We hope that they're satisfied with what they see. I know that. We can't wait for our fans to see it, and we think it's going to certainly improve the game day presentation and hopefully along with that, a better product on the field.
With such big boards, what an opportunity to put different things up. Have you guys come to a conclusion as what the content will be on the boards during the game day experience?
Well, we have as far as the first game is concerned, and, one of the things that we're committed to do is to have the content and the programming constantly evolve. Not only from game to game, but also within the game. And, in many respects, you're trying to tell a story, and, the story from Sunday to Sunday is different. But, our goal going in is, since they're so large, it really gives us the opportunity to put more content up there. So those things that either fans have desired to see but haven't in the past, or those things that they have had to rely on their smartphone for, we want to start putting those things up on the board. So you're going to see multiple replays. Obviously, you're going to see replays that you can actually see compared to, what the old boards were like. You're going to see constant update on stats. You'll see constant live updates in terms of what's happening with the current drive, up-to-the-minute stats in terms of what's happening within the game. And then some of the things that are important to most avid NFL fans, which is fantasy football. It shocks me because I'm not a big fantasy football player, but 40% of avid NFL fans are fantasy football enthusiasts, so we'll have fantasy football stats. And then in this particular market where, there's a lot of people who live here that also have other favorite teams within the National Football League, you're going to be able to keep track of what's going on around the league. So it should be a unique presentation and something that will evolve game by game.
Mark Lamping is with us, Jaguars president on Jaguars Thursday. You have a brand new toy. You want to plug it in and try it on. When do you get to finally test one of these boards?
Well, the boards themselves take a while to burn in. It's not like a television where you turn it on and it's operating at its maximum efficiency the first time you turn it on. So the LEDs need to burn in a little bit. most of the video has already been installed, other than the big video boards at each end, and then the new one that's just going in below in the north end zone. A lot of those have already been on. You know, we use them during the soccer game,
right.
So those were up and running. They're still operating at probably 50% of their ultimate effectiveness. So it could be as soon as this week that the south end zone board, they turn on and start, you know, just patterns and colors and things like that to start burning it in. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it'll be 100% before July 26th, but we know it's going to be 100% by then.
Will there be a small town in South Dakota making the road trip down for the unveil on July 26th?
Only if we get him to commit
because,
to.
Because, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but there's a town in South Dakota that houses the company that's building these video boards basically off of no previous design, correct? I mean,
no,
so they're excited as well.
Yeah, they're in Brookings, which is outside of Sioux Falls and very close to one of the best pheasant hunting areas in the country. So, you know, we did the deal with Daktronics, and part of the rider to that was Jeff gets an annual hunt.
You got me one good.
Yeah, you get an annual hunt.
I appreciate that.
Nice. That's right. But, no, it's a great story. Daktronics is a great American success story. It was a small company that was built as sort of a spinoff from South Dakota State University, the engineering department. And now they're the largest supplier of video boards in the world. You know, the boards are made right there in Brookings, South Dakota. They're made in America. You know, they're high quality. They're best in class. And, you know, we're really excited about it. You know, we wanted to get the – first and foremost, we wanted to have the best possible boards. And the reason that their boards are by far the best is they're the brightest boards. You know, there's other great boards that are made, but the Daktronic boards on the brightness scale score the highest. And that's really important for us because we're going to have direct sunlight on our boards a lot of times.
That was one of the
game.
First questions that I had when you guys were talking about building these video boards. I said, boy, there's got to be something that's going to be super bright to contest with the sun.
And that's exactly, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we went with Daktronics, you know. But the added benefit of the fact that they're American-made is sort of takes it over the top. And, you know, I know that's always important to all of us, but particularly in this market.
Mark Lamping is with us, Jaguars president on Jaguars Thursday, of course, part of the renovation. We've read a lot this week in local media involves the Wi-Fi improvements at Everbank Field. That's a league-wide thing. The league has said that each stadium needs to improve their Wi-Fi capability, and it came out this week that the city council has supported their share of that. Take us through some of the details, if you can, of what the upgrades might be on the Wi-Fi.
Well, the first thing with Wi-Fi that I'm really proud of, the Jaguars now are ahead of the curve with the NFL. You know, we are one of the first teams now that are going to be Wi-Fi, fully Wi-Fi within the Seating Bowl. All teams are going to have to be Wi-Fi to a certain point. Those requirements kick in next year. But as part of a lot of the renovations we've been doing, we've been able to branch out a little bit and try to engage in some negotiations regarding Wi-Fi in the stadium. It's a great time to be doing it. We negotiated an outstanding price. And the real reason behind this is, just like what we're doing with the video boards, is we need to improve the in-game experience at Everbank Field, and we need to make sure that the experience inside Everbank Field is distinctly different than what you can get at home. And at the same time, you don't have to sacrifice certain things. And, you know, we have to realize that, you know, virtually all of our fans carry cell phones. Most of them have smartphones. And you know, when they come to the game, they're going to want to be keeping in touch, whether it's things as simple as making sure that the babysitter can reach out to contact them while they're at the game, or something that, you know, a lot of our younger fans like to do is to take pictures and immediately post them to their social media sites. And now we'll be able to do that with the Wi-Fi. And also we've got some pretty exciting things in terms of having interactive features on the new video boards that are now going to be possible because of Wi-Fi.
So you mean you could bring in your iPad, tablet, Surface to your seat and get extra benefit from that as well?
Absolutely. And it's a free service. You don't have to. So.
Were they going to have like a code to be able to access?
No. You'll come in. It'll be an open, free network,
okay.
And that's the way we need to do it. So it should be good.
Mark Lamping with us, Jaguars president on Jaguars Thursday. Other reports this week saying that the new cabanas in the north end zone have completely sold out for the season. Yeah, I see your face. That does not seem like it's a true statement.
I was just smiling because Jaguars and sold out hasn't been said in that combination for a long time. It is true as it relates to the cabanas on the second level.
Second level cabanas.
Those have sold out. We still have inventory of some cabanas at the first level around the pools.
Explain to people. First level is the pool area. Second level is not the pool area.
Yes, second level is sort of like the VIP deck overlooking the pool, and that's why it's been, I think it's been received very, very positively. It'd be a great location, and there's cabanas at both levels. You know, there's 12 on the second level. Those have all sold out for the entire season. And there's a total of 8 that are at the lower level that get access to the pool area, and we still have inventory left there. So it's we're really excited about how that's been received. The other new products that we introduced, the rail seating out in the platform, north end zone platform, those are essentially sold out.
Are all the modifications for some of that other seating that you guys had come up with, is all that done?
Yes. Yeah, it's either done or it will be done by July 26th. So the response has been good. And all of these products are premium priced, meaning they're higher priced. And one of the things we've been trying to do is to get our average ticket price up, but get it up in a way that it doesn't affect every fan across the board. And, you know, so far, I mean, we got a long way to go, but it's had its desired effect so far.
A little more detail on some of the other options. In the club area, there's the 4 seats with the table now, right? Those have been selling very well. There's also the field side seating, but kind of explain where the field side seating would be actually on the field.
Yeah, if you can imagine the football equivalent of courtside seating. So these are new seats that we're placing at the field level. There's just a couple rows of them in 2 different locations. And they're at field level. And there's, I think, a total of 180 seats. There's still some of those available as well. And one of the cool things about that is we also have small little temporary clubs that we've built that these seats get access to. So your food, your beverage, all of that is included as part of your ticket price, as is all this other stuff. So, you know, we've introduced a lot of products that are, you know, what's called all-inclusive. So you buy your ticket, and then that's the last time you have to pay for anything. Once you get into Everbank Field, your food, your beverages are all free of charge.
Any thought to modification to the way things have run in the Terrace Suite or the club seats that have been all-inclusive, of maybe spicing them up or downsizing any of them? I know that was part of the conversation that you presented.
Well, the Terrace Suite is operating really well. That's a great product. Last year was the first year that as a franchise we had sold that out in about 8 years, and you know, this year it sold out with a waiting list. So that's a good product. It's performing well. You always want to continue to try to update it each and every year just to make sure it's fresh, and we've been doing that with some of the new offerings that we've had out there. The bigger issue, Jeff, that you refer to is where we are with our club seats. You know, Jacksonville is one of the smaller NFL markets. It's one of the smallest NFL markets in terms of its corporate community. And that's typically the market that you go to for your club seats. And while we're on the smaller end in terms of size and number of companies, we have amongst the largest number of club seats in the entire National Football League. And now that's really important. If it wasn't for the sale of those club seats 20 years ago, Jacksonville would not be an NFL city. So that was very, very important to begin with. But what we've seen over time, you know, the club hasn't sold out club seats for quite some time. We think that it's time to refresh those, that seating product. We know we have too many seats. And what we're talking about doing, and again, we haven't reached the point where we're actually moving forward with this, but the idea of opening up that club so that you can actually, you know, see the field from inside the club. So taking out some seats, replacing it with glass walls, having some common area outside, and just to freshen the whole club up. And if we do that, we think we'll accomplish a couple things. One, we'll make the experience for all club seat holders better, and we'll reduce the inventory, which will hopefully balance the supply versus demand versus compared to what we have now, which is demand that far outstrips supply.
Any ideas when you'd like to accomplish that?
Well, I'd like to get it done yesterday.
Absolutely.
And we have so much work to do. A lot of stuff we have to get done fast. But, you know, it's something that we're working really hard at right now. And, if we are going to bring it forward, you know, we would probably bring it forward hopefully for next year. But, you know, again, we're not there yet.
Final thoughts of the first segment of Jaguars Thursday with President Mark Lamping. Single game sales tomorrow morning to the public, 10 a.m. But you've changed some of the pricing this year. Variable pricing for 2 of the games, the Steelers game and the Giants game. Obviously, big draw games for the opponent coming in. That's part of the reasoning behind that, right?
Well, part of the reasoning behind it is what we've been saying for quite some time, is that if we want to have a stable franchise here in Jacksonville, we have to increase our local revenue. And in order to do that, you know, you have to make sure that if you have opportunities to generate incremental revenue, that you don't leave those opportunities behind. The great thing about technology today is you know who's buying your tickets, okay? And, you know, when the game will sell out against the Steelers, we know that there's a huge influx of Steeler fans that are going to be purchasing those tickets. And, you know, why not raise the price?
I'm with you.
So we did a lot of study on that. And the Steeler tickets, for example, the single game tickets for Steelers will be 40% higher than what they will be for all the other games. And then when you compare that new higher price, those Steeler fans that are used to buying tickets at Heinz Field will still think it's a bargain.
President Mark Lamping is with us. We'll take a timeout, come back and talk London, maybe a little shipyards downtown too. We'll see what Mark wants to get into. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli on assignment in beautiful Brunswick, Georgia tonight. We'll hear from him coming up at the Jaguars Caravan event. Jaguars President Mark Lamping joins us for a final few minutes here. Mark, in your presentation we had spoken about a little bit ago, a few months back, you presented some ideas for the future, and one of those was a conceptual roof drawing that you had presented. Another was the building of the shipyards project downtown. Any movement on any of those fronts, and is there anything new since that presentation?
Well, the shipyards is probably closer on the horizon than, you know, any type of weather protection for Everbank Field. The goal with thinking about a roof on Everbank Field is more an exercise to say, you know, let's not put any good idea and just throw it off the table. You know, we have fans that complain sometimes about how hot it can be in Everbank Field, and, you know, you can either ignore that or try to be creative to try to solve that. And so, you know, that's not something that's going to happen anytime soon. Shipyards, on the other hand, is something that is probably a more immediate concern for us, because, you know, we know there's a lot of things we have to do to stabilize the franchise. And one of them, and this isn't the only thing, but it's one of them, it's not the most important, but it is one of them, is to fix up the front door to the sports complex. We want people to be anxious to get to the sports complex. We want them to feel comfortable when they come here, to feel safe when they come here. And when you look at the front door to the sports complex, which is really the shipyards, you know, it could be much improved. You know, you have undeveloped property. And, you know, the idea is
it's generating no taxes.
That's right.
Generating no taxes and adding nothing as far as
our fans'
experience. You know, if you look at some of the great stadiums around, you know, around the country, you know, they offer a lot of things. But one is, you know, things for people to do before events, to do after events. It's not just Jaguar games. Think of all the Suns games and all the games that are at the arena. So that's the only reason we're interested in the shipyards, is because we would like to have something that's the front door to the sports complex that people can feel really good about. And in the process of doing that, if we can generate more jobs downtown, and if we can get more people to live downtown, we know that's good for downtown, and what's good for downtown ultimately is going to be very good for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I remember in 1995 making that drive so many times, coming across the Main Street Bridge and down Bay Street, and actually inquired one time about buying it myself, because I was going, this is a beautiful piece of water on the river. Something's got to be done here. I mean, it's just too pretty just to let sit idle.
Well, today we'd be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Jeff's bait shop.
Yeah, and how nothing's gone on with it.
Nice. Must be nice, Jeff. Jaguars Thursday President Mark Lamping is with us. Let's move over to London. I know, Jeff, you had some thoughts about this before the show tonight. We talked about it. You know, year one to year two, you're a little closer now to getting back to Wembley in November. I think it's week 10 this year against the Dallas Cowboys. That game sold out already. All three of the games over there are this year. But in the build-up to the game, what's different this year that you maybe have learned from last year?
Well, we're better organized, that's for sure. You know, we're, you know, last year I think, like with all the teams that go over there, it's sort of a novelty. And now we're going over for the second year. So, you know, the team will be handling the logistics more along the lines of what you would expect to do when you go on the road. You know, the team's still going over. We'll arrive there on Monday morning. We're leaving after the game Sunday night in
Cincinnati.
And they'll go to a practice site to do some of the work that you typically would be doing at your home stadium. But then as you get near the end of the week, the team's going to move to a stadium, to a hotel that's next to Wembley, not going to be staying in central London. So I would say it's much more business as usual as far as the team is concerned. And as far as the business side of it, and we bring a lot of people over for that, that's growing in terms of our sponsorship business over there. And we just know it better. And this year, you know, the good news is we'll be able to take advantage of the fact that Fulham plays at home on that Saturday. So all of our Jaguar fans that are also interested in Fulham, Fulham plays at Craven Cottage on Saturday at 3 o'clock. So it should make for a full weekend. And, you know, London has been working, you know, pretty much how we had hoped it would, where it's providing a nice financial boost for the Jaguars here in Jacksonville, and it makes us financially stronger here in Jacksonville by playing the game in London.
You touched briefly on the business side of things improving over there, and you have a person that's over there full-time working that side of it for the franchise. How much of a boost has it been from year one to year two, having a person in place that's been able to develop relationships?
You know, it's growing. It's still one of these things where you have to develop the fan base first. We've made great progress over there in terms of the awareness of the Jaguars, the awareness of the city of Jacksonville, and the affinity for the franchise. We're in the top 10 now in London of the most popular NFL teams. We were 31st before we went over there. So financially, we started off the first year with, you know, essentially playing one game over there is like playing two games here. That's what it means in terms of the dollars to us. So that's a great thing. And now the growth is hopefully going to be steady. We're not seeing step increases. We saw a huge step increase last year because it was the first year we were there. But we are growing, and it's positive. It's double-digit growth, but we have a long way to go.
How often do you have to go over there for business, you know, issues with the Jaguars? Because you also have a role with Fulham. So how often are you over there?
You know, I've been getting over there about once a month. And sometimes it's a bit, the trip is as short as a day and a half. You know, I've gotten used to flying back and forth. And, you know, there's great flights, you know, from Atlanta directly to London. I fly right back. So the shortest I was over there was about 36 hours. But I'm over there once a month. And, you know, most of the business, depending on the time of the year, is either Jaguars or Fulham. But I do both when I'm over there.
And a little more on the Fulham business side. What exactly is the role that you have with the Fulham club?
You know, I'm the conduit on the business side between you know, Fulham and Chad, and also spending a lot of time, you know, ensuring that the way that they do things over there integrates with what we're doing here, because we are the same, you know, the same entity owned by the same person, and also trying to find those synergies that can make sense. You know, whether it's sponsorship opportunities that extend from both Fulham and the Jaguars, or, you know, even things as recently yesterday, I had a couple of meetings in New York that were related to Fulham that had to do with food and beverage. So, you know, it's just making sure that we find those synergies that exist between the two teams that Shot owns.
Well, you've been around football and baseball for quite some time. How different was it to jump into that arena of soccer?
You know, it's
it's still sports and it's still business.
Yeah,
but
the business fundamentals are the same. The competition rules are totally different. This idea of relegation and things like that that we've had to deal with is different. But, you know, it wasn't hard at all. At the end of the day, it's still all about, you know, attracting good players, hoping you can train those players well and motivate them well and, you know, have them perform as a cohesive unit. That's the same in soccer versus football. And on the business side, it's knowing who your customers are and making sure you provide your customers with what they want and what they expect, and ensuring that, you know, if they choose to spend their hard-earned money to go to a game, whether it's at Craven Cottage or Everbank Field, that when they leave there, they think they had a great value.
Mark Lamping is with us. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Question. Whatever happened to the Michael Jackson statue?
You know, I think it's on a ship to China right now. But no, actually, what happened to it, it's funny. It's actually... it's at the UK National Soccer Museum. It was brought there because it was such an interesting story. And, you know, it was one of the first things Shad did. It seems a little out of context to have a Michael Jackson statue at on the banks of the Thames and Craven Cottage. And,
yeah.
And a lot of things changed in Michael Jackson's life from Thriller days till his, you know, unfortunate demise.
But. Yeah.
Mark Lamping is with us. Fulham is coming over here, of course, July 26th to play DC United and Carrie Underwood. The concert is after that game, but not the only soccer game here this year. The U.S. team played here just a couple of weeks ago before heading to Brazil. They lost today, but they still will get into the tournament in the World Cup. How involved were you in the U.S. side of things in terms of getting that game here and maybe future games? And is that something that you or the Jaguars could be involved in?
Well, we want to see as many great events come to Jacksonville as possible. You know, whether we're involved directly or involved indirectly, we want great events to come here because it's great for our sponsors to have events here at Everbank Field, and it's great for the community to have those types of events because they represent a tremendous amount of economic impact. So it's all great things. As far as the U.S.-Nigeria game, you know, we were in that at the very beginning and played a very prominent role in negotiating to have the U.S. team choose Jacksonville for that game and ultimately, you know, partnered with SMG to bring that game here. So, you know, a lot of events, you know, we'll just be there as a supporter like we were for the Country Music Festival. We, you know, we have certain rights under our lease that, you know, we want to make sure that when promoters come here, they have great events. So we have a great attitude in terms of that. And that's, you know, gave up some things to make the Country Music Festival happen because in the big picture, it was what we got in return was a lot, hell of a lot bigger than what we gave up. And in other events, you know, we'll be actively involved in terms of the promoter, in terms of financially, and if that's what it takes to get events here, if we think it's a good enough event and a reasonable investment, we'll do it.
How much momentum can you generate with the soccer fans in the U.S. after this World Cup? I mean, because I don't know about you, but the amount of excitement that I've seen about this year's World Cup surpasses anything that I've ever seen. I'm even watching it.
Yeah. I'm sure you're frustrated today. Well, we lost, but we won.
What's the yeah, what's I'm the still trying
there?
To figure
that's
out.
That's when I saw the big guy before he headed up to Bronze with Pacelli. He's like, I actually watched the game, and I don't. So we lost, but we won. I mean, how does that happen? You know, I think there'll be momentum, but, you know, you don't confuse the national pride of following your team, whether it's in the Olympics or whether it's in the World Cup, with all of a sudden, you know, soccer a month from now is going to be the most important thing in the States. It's not. You know, we take a lot of pride in this country. We all rally behind our national teams, and, you know, that's a part of what we're doing with the World Cup. I love the game, and, you know, I played. My kids played in college, so I've been a big follower of the game and know it reasonably well. But it's not typically the type of sports that most people in North Florida and Southern Georgia would say, yeah, that's my favorite sport. Their favorite sport is played with a football.
You know. The other football, the pigskin,
the brown one.
Mark Lamping is with us. Final thought: how are the Cardinals doing this year? You follow them still?
Yeah, up and down a little bit. You know, they had some problems with their problem with their pitching staff. You know, starting pitching, but Wainwright's pitching tonight. You know, they got a great farm system, so they've been able to bring players through. Milwaukee's having a good year. You know, we'll see. But I think baseball, I think it's shown that you play 162 games just to get into the show, into the playoffs, and once you get there, anything can happen.
Milwaukee's playing 600 ball right now. They're hot, no doubt. Mark, we appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, guys. You do a great job. Really appreciate it.
Mark Lamping, president of the Jaguars, joining us. Single game tickets for the Jags 2014 home schedule going on sale tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Visit Jaguars.com for those 3D seat views. Tickets also available through Ticketmaster.com or call the Jaguars ticket office 633-2000. When we return, Tony Boselli with a live update from the Jaguars Caravan event in Brunswick, Georgia. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. You'll get caught up on all the latest Jags news and a chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. Also on Jaguars.com this week, Jeff, the Rookie 101 series has started. Chris Smith, Brandon Linder, and the Sexton Spotlights are there as well. And the best of the week, though, was the behind the scenes of the Roar calendar shoot down in the British Virgin Islands.
Wow.
That's up there this week, last day or two.
I haven't seen that yet.
You might want to check that one out.
Might have to do that.
I'm going to recommend that one. Let's go to the phone line now and get an update from the Jaguars Caravan event in Brunswick, Georgia. We welcome in the pride of the Jaguars, Tony Buscelli. Tony, how's the scene in Brunswick tonight?
Oh, it's great. Every year we come up here, it's always a great turnout. You know, there's so many Jaguar fans, NFL fans up here. We have it's a packed house here. So we just got done with a little program, did a bunch of giveaways, and now the guys are signing some autographs.
How many? Which players are up there, Tony?
We have Carson Tinker. We have Sam Young, Zane Beatles, and the former great Jacksonville Jaguar, Brad Meester.
Oh, all right. So I got to know. How skinny does Brad Meester look? I've heard lots of people's comments that he looks great. Your thoughts?
I'm jealous and need to figure out what he's doing because he looks fit. You know, he doesn't look overly skinny. I mean, in a compliment, he's fit. He obviously lost, you know, 30, 40 pounds, whatever it is, but he looks great. He's doing, he's obviously eating a little healthier than myself.
Tony Buscelli is with us from Brunswick, Georgia. The Jaguars caravan rolls along tonight. You know, you said this is always a great stop. How many years straight has this been going in Brunswick now? Do you remember, Tony?
Yeah, I want to say this is our third or fourth year. I always forget and get a little confused on the exact numbers, but I want to say 4 years. Maybe it's only three, but every year we come up here, it's been an outstanding turnout.
The caravan wraps up tomorrow in Tallahassee. Capital of the Miller's Ale House there. Mike Harris, Geno Hayes are the players scheduled to be there in Seminole Country. That's always a good one, too, over in Tallahassee.
So, you know, last year was our first year going there, guys, and I didn't know what to expect. You know, that's a good two and a half, 3 hour drive from Jacksonville.
You're driving too slow,
and
Tony.
It was packed.
You're driving too slow.
It was absolutely packed last year.
3 hours to get to Tallahassee? What are you driving?
Well, I said 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah,
it should be, how fast do you go?
Don't worry about it.
How long does it take you?
Don't worry about it. That'll be tomorrow night, 6 to 7:30.
I mean, seriously, I'm gonna have to call the police on you. And make sure
be on the lookout for a car heading down I-10 tomorrow, driven by J.P. Shatter.
There's a lot of cars. That's 6 to 7:30 tomorrow night. The Miller's Ale House. I'll tell you what, the biggest one so far, obviously, was down in Oviedo, Tony, with Boros and
large.
Johnson. That was an unbelievable scene there, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were there together, and it was 1,300-plus people, a lot of Jaguar paraphernalia, a lot of UCF, and a lot of Blake Bortles fans. I mean, they love Blake Bortles. Obviously, it's his hometown. And it was a ton of fun just to feel the energy and the excitement. And it was fun for me. I just got to sit back and watch because they certainly were not there to get my autograph. They were there to see Blake and Storm Johnson. So it was quite an event, JP. I think it was probably one of our better caravans we've had throughout the history of them.
Hey Tony, you know, with all of these different caravan events, there's always a lot of rookie participation, an opportunity for those guys to get out and, you know, shake hands with the fans and meet and greet the fans. Of all the different events that you've done so far, what rookie has really impressed you with the way he's handled himself at these type of events, or what have you gotten to know about a rookie that maybe you didn't know?
I'll say this. They actually have all handled themselves very well. They really have. And so I'm not taking the easy way out, but they've all been great, and they've been engaging with the fans. They handle themselves well on stage when you ask them questions. But the most impressive thing I have seen out of any of the rookies is Blake Bortles. The event was scheduled to go from 6 to 7:30, and I had to get back because I had a fundraiser. So we left, JP and I left at 7:30 because the event was scheduled to be over. But there were still, JP, what do you say, 600 people waiting in line?
At least, and he signed every single autograph.
He signed every autograph. He stayed there. The caravan was over. He stayed there till 9 o'clock and made sure every individual had an autograph that wanted one. And you just don't see that. Forget about it. You don't see that. I'm not just talking about rookies. You don't see that from professional athletes today. To sit there in the patience and the engagement that he had with the fan base. I don't know if someone told him to do that, if he just did that on his own. I don't care why he did it, but he handled himself like a true pro.
Tony Buscelli, we'll let you get back to signing autographs tonight. We appreciate the
Absolutely.
Update from Brunswick.
I'll be over there. Absolutely, guys. And I'll see you. I'll be with you guys next week.
We'll celebrate America next week, Tony. That'll be fantastic. We'll look forward to it.
I miss you guys. I haven't been with the caravan. I've missed the bonding time we have in the studio.
Nah, it's all right, Tony. It's all good, and keep up the good work.
All right, guys.
Tony Baselli from Brunswick, Georgia tonight. The Jaguars caravan rolling along. Let's go around the National Football League.
Wait a minute. Now you can do
all the music.
You got to have the music. I mean, is there another professional sports league that when you hear a tune of music that you instantly identify a sport to that? No. But this here for the National Football League is one of two that come to my mind.
NFL films, all the music.
And it's the best.
Can we get around the NFL?
Let's do it.
Let's start off with the Rookie Symposium in Aurora, Ohio. The rookies visiting there and the Hall of Fame in Canton this week. Gus Bradley spoke with all the AFC rookies yesterday with a presentation. But what did the league have similar to this when you came in? And, like, what year was that? 88, 89?
89. They didn't have anything like that.
Nothing?
No. They had kind of what they still do to this day, to where they would bring in different people to speak to the rookies at each individual team, you know, whether it be the FBI talking about, you know, things to stay away from, gambling, or, you know, people that are trying to find ways to befriend you that have evil ways about them. I mean, but they didn't do anything in one particular place to educate the rookie class. Now, with the rookies, it doesn't end just here. I mean, it's still they do a rookie education type of thing throughout the season for these guys to give them the best opportunity in all different facets of life. So credit the NFL for that.
Moving along to also on Wednesday, the NFL and the Council for the Retired Player Plaintiffs in that concussion settlement announced a revised settlement agreement. The NFL's obligations in the award fund will not be capped. And once the program is established, funds will be available to any retired player who develops a qualifying neurocognitive condition. So the NFL's, there's no cap anymore, which was the case before. There was only a certain set amount of money for all retired players ever. That's no longer the case. I know kind of how you feel about this whole situation. You're not a huge fan of this. But
Well, no. I'm a big fan of people that have real problems getting real help.
But this could be a case where some may not, right?
Well, I don't know that.
You don't know.
You know, I don't know that for sure. I mean, but I do know that there are guys that have real issues. You know, and some of them you may not be able to trace exactly where that's beginning started. I mean, could have been football related, could have been something else, could have been just a normal health condition. I don't know that. But I know that there are football players that have real issues. Turner, the middle linebacker, the fullback played for the New Philadelphia Eagles, Ted Johnson, who played middle linebacker for the New England Patriots, Mike Webster, obviously, the late Mike Webster was a guy that had issues. And so I just hope that with this, the players that need the help the most can get it.
You say McMahon as well, Jim McMahon?
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, yeah, Jim. I'm just telling you on firsthand of guys that I know.
Let's move along to Seattle, Washington. Quarterback for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, told ESPN.com this week that, quote, there's a lot more ways we can be better. They won 11 of the first 12. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl. What can the Seahawks do better? This smells of Gus Bradley / Pete Carroll talking.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just get better. I mean, how many times do we hear Gus Bradley say that?
A day.
You know, so, I mean, and that's what it's all about. I mean, as long as you can focus on the task of just getting better, you don't have a tendency to sit there and wallow in your past successes like the Seahawks have had, obviously, with being Super Bowl champs. You know, but that's the Pete Carroll way. Gus Bradley is very similar, but he has his own style.
What can the Seahawks do better?
Well, one thing is that they can take huge strides in their passing game. I mean, Russell Wilson, I think, has only begun to show some of his talent. Some of his ability with showing pocket presence to me is comparable to really not a whole lot of guys at his age. I mean, he's so much more mature than his years. Now, he has to get better as a passer in throwing the ball downfield, understanding defenses. But some of the things that he does when the plays break down, you just can't coach that. You know, they can get better on defense up front. They lost a lot of guys, so they've got to try to find a way to get better with what they've got. Offensive line-wise, Giacomini, the right tackle, is no longer there. I mean, they're going to have to find substitutions, you know. But part of trying to get better when you have change is also kind of refreshing, because when it's not the same, you have a tendency to understand that, hey, we're not the same team. We need to work at becoming the best that we can possibly be. And so the Seahawks, with some of the losses that they've had, may help that. You know, and then also one area that they could get better, if they have Percy Harvin on the field, the guy's a fantastic talent.
Played the last game. It was
if he can, you know, and it wasn't much of a contribution in that last game, but if he can stay healthy, he is going to make them instantly better in the passing game. They also have a couple backup running backs that I watched some film on those guys and the limited amount of playing time that they got, because obviously they're behind Marshawn Lynch. But they have some serious talent behind Marshawn Lynch. And I know that the running backs coach kind of stuck his foot in his mouth when he said that, you know, Marshawn Lynch's, you know, role's going to be reduced. And then he kind of amended that, saying that, you know, we want to make sure that he's healthy for the year. The fact is that they do have talent behind Marshawn Lynch, and it's going to be fun to watch it.
I'm with you on Harvin. You saw what he did with the kickoff return in the Super Bowl. If they could have that a little longer, it'd be great. Hey, for them at least. Let's go to Oakland, California. This is probably the biggest news, at least for me. I know we talked about this before.
It's big news in an indirect way.
The Oakland Athletics owner Lou Wolf and MLB Commissioner Bud Selig Wednesday, they announced a 10-year lease agreement to stay at the O.co Coliseum and would consider sticking in Oakland longer if a stadium is built at the current site. And that announcement actually surprised city and county officials who were meeting about a pending agreement. And the councilman told the San Jose Mercury Press that the statements were premature. Of course, Raiders owner Mark Davis wants a stadium without a baseball infield. If the A's are there, that's one less place for the Raiders to build a long-term stadium. Raiders are currently in a one-year lease at the Coliseum. They need 23 other owners to vote yes for a move. This is a huge deal if this stands up for the A's, right?
Well, it's a big deal for the A's, but it's not a very good sign for the Oakland Raiders.
You're right.
But, you know, I really think that Mark Davis should have started the conversation with L.A. long ago, while you had a city that you were currently in. The Raiders need to be in L.A. They have a fan base in L.A. They were already in L.A. It's the second largest television market in the country. The NFL wants a team in L.A. It just makes too much sense to have Mark Davis take that football team and go to Los Angeles. To me, it makes perfectly good sense. And if I'm Mark Davis, think of what the value of the franchise. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not encouraging the Oakland Raiders that they should leave. I'm just saying is that if Mark Davis were to take that franchise from Oakland to L.A., what would the value of the franchise do? It would be a dramatic change.
Through the roof.
You can see San Francisco from Oakland. You know, the 49ers got a new stadium. The L.A. market, there are people willing to build a mega football complex, supposedly. L.A., Mr. Davis, please.
Now, it's what I've heard just briefly in the past. I'm not, I don't have a lot of knowledge about this, but the wife is still alive, Al Davis's widow, Carol Davis, right? And that might be part of the pull to try to stay in Oakland. I don't know. I'm just thinking of things here.
The reality of it is that the L.A. market has Raider fans. The team was already there. The Oakland Coliseum is a pigsty. There's no other way about it. It is the worst stadium in the National Football League, period. They have toilets that break on a regular basis and flood the stadium. Although I will say this about that place. They have one of the finest grounds crews in the country.
They have to.
Period. Bar none.
They have to have it.
They do a great job.
No doubt. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we come back on Jaguars Thursday, we'll wrap it up for the week. Preview tomorrow's caravan ending stop in Tallahassee, and talk about a signing for the Jags this week. That's up next. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Put your group together for the best game day experience in the National Football League at Everbank Field. Special group ticket pricing, extensive corporate hospitality, and customized group experiences. And for more information, visit jaguars.com/groups. You heard Mark Lamping earlier tonight say the upper cabanas are sold out for the season. That means poolside cabanas are still available.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you want to be, I think.
Yeah, you know, I've saw the scoreboards from field level. I have not gone up to actually see the pools, but you can kind of see where they're getting ready to put all that in.
It looked like earlier in the week they were actually in the pools, working on the pools themselves.
Yeah, because I think they're going to have kind of the, like you would find in a shower, the glass kind of bricks. It looked like they were going to be putting some of them to where you know, like if you're at the field level looking up, you can see kind of that, you know, space where the pools are at through those glass kind of bricks. And I'm just guessing, I did not take the official tour. But that's going to be cool, man. And it's, you know, every network that comes in here is going to want to show that. When national television comes in, they're going to want to have kind of a little mini tour coming in and out of breaks. And that's a good thing for the city of Jacksonville.
When official team radio does their shows, they're going to want to do them from the pools.
Absolutely.
You know, Jaguars Thursday from the pools.
That would be nice.
That would be very nice, right? Nice, fall evening.
As long as Baselli is not at the pool in a bathing suit of any kind.
No. He's going to have to really work on that program a little more. Coming up for the Jaguars this week, kind of quiet. This is the dead zone for the team. The coaches, most of them are out.
Yeah,
the scouts are out.
I want to throw out a congratulations to Gus Bradley. You know, because when the commissioner of the National Football League asks you to come to speak to the rookies at the rookie symposium, that's an honor. I mean, that is a big honor. And what it says to me is that people around the National Football League are starting to hear good things about Gus Bradley and the style of coaching that he has. And so congratulations to Gus on that phone call from Roger Goodell to come and speak to the rookies. And I'm sure he did a great job, because Gus is simply one of the best public speakers I think that most anybody would ever encounter.
They can light up any room, no doubt about that. Also for the Jags this week, caravans are ending. Tonight it's in Brunswick. You just heard from Tony Baselli earlier. Tomorrow in Tallahassee, 6 o'clock start at the Miller's Ale House. Geno Hayes, Mike Harris, Tony Baselli. I'll be there too.
No Telvin Smith?
Well, Telvin's in Ohio for the rookie symposium,
that's right.
It.
That's right.
And so I'll be there tomorrow too, and that'll be a big one in Tallahassee. Always is a couple of one
hey,
signing.
Quick before you get to the signing,
okay?
I'm going to throw another congratulations out here.
You're all about that.
Well, I because I want to recognize people that do good things. And Geno Hayes, the Jaguars linebacker, a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if we talked about it on this radio show or not, but there was a fundraising event, the Medicine of Miracles event,
for the
Children's Miracle Network. But Geno actually bought a trip for the Miracle Kids family. If we didn't mention it, it was worth repeating again, even if we did talk about it
I don't think we mentioned that.
Geno Hayes, they had a live auction for different things, and all the money and the proceeds were going to the Children's Miracle Network. And when this particular vacation at an amusement park came up, Geno Hayes bought it and then gave it to the family. That's a great thing by Geno Hayes.
Pretty awesome, no doubt. Allen Robinson, rookie wide receiver, signed this week, leaving one Jaguars draft pick remaining. That's Marquise Lee. Likely won't happen this week. They're in Ohio. It's one of five rookies in the league.
Oh, it can happen. It does matter. I mean, if he's in Ohio, it can get it done. I mean, I signed a free agent deal to come here when I was in Hawaii. You know, I mean, for the NFL Players Association meeting. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are. With technology today, print it out, you know, get your signature on it, and fax a copy back, and it's a done deal.
Well, how are we going to get the interview on Jaguars.com?
Well, you just would have to go without it.
How are they going to do that without that? That's impossible.
Well, that would be just tough luck for you and Mecav.
Jeff, great stuff as always. We'll see you next week and celebrate America on this air next week. How about that?
Good deal.
July 3rd. Jaguars manager of radio is Joe Fortunato. Our thanks to Ryan Bonifant back in the studio. Our thanks to Mark Lamping. He joined us for half an hour tonight. Tony Baselli from Brunswick, Georgia. For Jeff Lagerman, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. We'll be right back.
Beach.